Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. We're going to really look into the love of money and why we need to get where that is not an idol for us. So we're going to start Matthew 6. Take care not to do your merciful deeds before men in order to be seen by them. But if not, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So God is telling us, this is how to know how not to be hyper spiritual. This is how to know if you have a religious attitude towards what you're doing or if you're being led by God. Okay, Matthew 6, 1. So God's saying, in your own heart, make sure that when you're doing something good, when you're doing something to help someone, you're actually not doing it so people will recognize what you're doing. So these are things you just got to go to God and say, Lord, deal with this in my heart. Why do I want recognition for this? Why do I want people to think more highly of me for this? You know, God, strip this out of my heart. And he says, if you do your deeds to be seen by man, that's your only reward. How many, I want the reward God has for me. Amen. I want the eternal reward God has for me. I want to be a player in God's kingdom. Amen. I want to be in his kingdom. I want his kingdom reward. I want his kingdom laws. I want his kingdom way of doing things. I want his kingdom relationships. I want to be fully and completely in the kingdom of God. Amen. How many want to be fully and completely in the kingdom of God? You got it. God is calling the entire church right now to quit having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom and going back and forth, trying to decide yourself what you're free of. Just say, God, just get this out of my heart. Lord, let me do merciful deeds. Let me do charitable deeds. Let me do good things for people and let my motive be because I love you, God. He says, therefore, when you do your merciful deeds, do not trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. For truly I say to you, they have their reward. So what's God saying? Get man-pleasing out of your heart. Get it out of your heart to care what other people think about you. Get it out of your heart to think about, is this, you know, what do people think? Is anybody watching me? Just get free from it, amen? Just take it to the cross and say, God, I only want to please you. I only want to do what you want me to do. And I do want to do what you want me to do, amen? By you doing your merciful deeds, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your merciful deeds may be done in secret. And your Father seen in secret himself will repay you in the open. What's God saying? Quit trying to get people to like you. Quit trying to get people to think highly of you. Quit trying to do things to impress people. Who do we know in Scripture that did this and died because of it? Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira wanted people to think that they gave away all the land and gave all the money to the church. They were even lying about it. But in their heart was, the real thing that got them was this desire to make everybody think that they were being so generous and so spiritual. And that desire that people would think highly of you, and then because their hearts weren't really right to give that kind of money away, they actually kept part of it. And so therefore, they died for lying in the presence of the Lord, but they were set up by the enemy through this desire for people to think highly of them. Amen? So he goes on. Do your merciful deeds in secret. I'm not good at this yet. I need to get to this. Amen? I say, Lord, get everything out of my heart that wants people to think how good I am or look what I've done or acknowledge what I've done. We need to pray this for our president. Amen? We need to pray this for our president. We need to get this out of our hearts so we know how to pray. Does everybody get this? God's like, quit being concerned what people think and be completely concerned about what I think. It's like, see things from a kingdom perspective. How many know everything in your life, from your parenting, from your culture, from everything, tries to make you a man pleaser, tries to make you, what are people thinking about me? Everything is like that. People criticizing you, your parents criticizing you, even people saying how good you are. Every relationship that tries to set you up to prove something to anybody is a relationship the enemy's behind, some parts of that, to make you someone who cannot just be content with a relationship with God and obeying Him. Amen? God, I want that. I want my relationship so free in You that my whole heart's desire is to please You. And in pleasing You, You will take care of who knows what. You will take care of who else is pleased by it. Nothing else will matter anymore. I just want my heart to please God. I just want to please God. Is there anybody who really wants that? Is there anybody? It's like your heart's desire. These are the things in your heart that you really should be talking to God about. God, I just want this. And then guess what? He'll give you the grace for it to be real. He'll give you the grace for it to be real. He'll heal you. He'll set you free. He'll send His word to separate your soulish thinking from the spirit. He'll do everything that His word declares He will do to answer that prayer. Amen? God loves the prayers of His people saying, God, make me holy because You're holy. God, is for freedom You set me free. Set me free. God doesn't set us free from things that we don't want to be set free from. We should always pray, God, keep me from deception. God, keep me from deception. Does anybody understand? When you're deceived, you don't know it. When you're deceived, you don't know it. And you've got to have a heart to go to God and say, Lord, open my eyes. I don't want to be deceived. You can't be afraid of being deceived because the thing you fear most will come on you. It's a spiritual law. So you got to deal with fear. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but He's given me love, power, and a sound mind. So wherever there's fear, the lack of a sound mind is waiting. There's not a single person who's lost their sound mind who wasn't operating in fear, even in their spirituality. Amen? Everyone legalistic is operating in fear. I'm not afraid of going to hell.
Why are you not afraid of going to hell?
Because I know the One who went there for me. That's the only reason I'm not afraid of going to hell. I'm not afraid of going to hell because I'm so good. I'm not afraid of going to hell because I came up to an altar call. I'm not afraid of going to hell because somebody says they don't think I'd go to hell. I'm a good person. I'm not afraid of going to hell because I personally know the One who went there for me. He went there for you. He went there for you. But you have to care about that. Enough to hate the sin that put Him there for you. He says, if what He's done isn't enough, there's nothing left to save you. It's like, if you don't get it, there's nothing left to save you. If you don't understand how your sin sent me to hell, separated me from the Heavenly Father, caused me to walk through such torture and horrific torment so that you wouldn't have to, do you not get that? Do you not get what He went through for your sin, for yours? Everybody here, think of your own personal sin. It put Him in hell so that you wouldn't have to go there. But the Bible says if you keep on sinning after you get that and you know it's sin, there's nothing left to save you. Why? Because you won't let what He did be enough. He didn't go to hell for you so you could keep on sinning. He went to hell for you so you could be set free from being a slave to Satan and to sin. You get to choose who you serve. You get to see that about money. You get to choose. You get to choose. You will not stand before Him and justify your sin. You will not be able to stand before Him and blame Him. You will not be able to blame the devil. You will not be able to blame me. You'll not be able to blame your mama or your daddy. You won't even be able to blame people who did horrific things to you. Because he showed you how he already paid. He already made a way for you to forgive. He gives grace, supernatural empowerment that you did not deserve, that you did not earn, that he just pours out when you say yes to him and his kingdom. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to continue to sin. None. Once you know it's sin. Once you know it's been paid for. Think about it. Think about it. He's not going to go to hell again for you. But when you sin after knowing it's sin, you're asking him to. You're like, well, thank you for going there for me once. So all the sins that I operated in before I knew you are now covered. I don't have to go to hell. But from this point on, if I keep sinning, then will you do that again for me? And the answer is no. Every time he came across someone who was caught in their sin, he didn't wink at them and say, don't worry about it, I covered it. He says, now go and sin no more, or a worse thing is going to come on you. See, sin isn't just the things we think sin are in our culture. Sin are the things that go against God and his word. So if God says, if you love money, and you serve money, you hate him, that's a sin. He says you can't do both. How many know in America, we actually, many think you can, and much of the church is? And God's like, no, that's lukewarm. I'm shaking everything that can be shaken. You're going to pick. You're going to choose. Aren't you glad he's merciful? Don't you understand how much we need to pray for each other, really led by the Holy Spirit, and how much we need to cry out for mercy? At the same time, you should be able to see how just God is and how unbelievably fair his ways are, amen, and even his judgments and even his laws. He made it all fair when he chose to make the way of escape for everybody, no matter what your portion in life. He goes on. Do your merciful deeds in secret. It's charitable. It's merciful. It's the things you do that everyone will think is good. Okay, when it says merciful, what are we talking about? It's the money you give to somebody. It's fixing somebody's car. And it's babysitting somebody's kids. And it's talking to somebody or preaching at somebody. It's all the good stuff you do that if people knew about it, they'd say, wow, what a good person. It's all those things that make somebody say, what a good Christian. Well, you shouldn't even necessarily know that. You don't know how good people are because you shouldn't know all the things they do in secret before God. And he's like, look, if you don't get anything out of this except you're doing what I want you to do, I'm going to reward you. And if what you're doing, you let people see it and you let people think how good you are because of it, that's going to be your only reward. We'll be surprised when we get to heaven and he starts handing out the rewards that some of the people did so many things, he's not even going to call up and tell anything about them. Because they did it for people to know how good they were. I'm talking to myself. But there's going to be some people who you had no idea they ever did anything, they ever thought anything, they ever even prayed a prayer, and he's going to call them up and he's going to reward them openly because of the things they did for him. Amen. Don't worry. There will be justice, everybody. There will be justice. There will be, let me say this, there will be justice. And for most of us, hopefully we get the revelation, my justice is going to be the blood of Jesus covers my sin. My justice is going to be the things I deserve, he paid for. And I recognized it. And I thanked him, and I made him Lord, and I asked him to change everything about me. Amen? So, yay, they won't see what looks like justice in the eyes of man for some people, because those things have been covered by the blood of Jesus. But there will be justice for every single thing not covered by the blood of Jesus. He goes on. says, when you do your merciful deeds, your good stuff, if it's done in secret, your Father, seeing in secret himself, will repay you in the open. Won't that be exciting? I hope I get some of that. I hope everything I have done hasn't been seen by man and rewarded by man. And I hope I haven't told everybody everything and nothing was done in secret. Maybe I'll spend the rest of my life doing everything in secret. So she's all boring anymore. She doesn't have any stories. Amen. Yes, Lord. When you pray, do not be as a hypocrite. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the open streets so that they may be seen by men. But I say to you, they've had their rewards. What's a hypocrite? It's someone whose heart is more concerned about what people think and what people see than what's really going on and what God thinks. That's a hypocrite to God. But you, when you pray, okay, he's talking to us. When you pray, put your name there. But when, Cindy, you pray. Everybody say their name. But when you pray, do not be babbling vain words as the nations do. What does that mean? Don't recite a prayer back to God. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I die before I wake. That's a scary prayer anyway. Let me speak death over myself before I go to sleep and my children. Oh, Lord. That one sounds like one of those, you know, half those children rhymes or curses that everybody does out there. Sticks and stones, wait a minute, you know. Amen? He said, don't do vain words. Don't do a prayer over and over like everybody's done it. Even the Lord's Prayer is not to be a just verbatim quoted back at him prayer. It's to be a heartfelt speaking to God. And when you speak to God from his word, he loves it. Amen? It's power to speak the word of God in prayer. But it can't be babbling vain words. Vain means you don't really care about it. You're not really thinking about it. It's just you're going through the motion. As the nations do, for they think they shall be heard in their much speaking. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Does everybody, I want anybody to get this. We're doing this thing, getting free from the love of money and serving money. Your heavenly Father, the creator of everything, has anybody else looked up at the stars this week? I sat at the ocean for a couple of days, and it was just really big waves, just roaring. You could hardly see. It was so cool. It was like the biggest fan in the creation. And you're sitting there, and you're just amazed, like, oh my gosh, Lord, look at you. Look what you've done. You've made these waves. You made this power. You make it stop right there. You have these clouds. You have these stars. You have these things. And we're supposed to be afraid that he's not going to take care of us, that what we need is too big for him? You got to get that faith. You got to get that understanding. God is going to answer my faith. God loves faith. God does not answer need. God answers faith. He already knows what you need. Now he wants you to have faith. Faith is trusting in God. The only people who can have faith at all are people who know Jesus Christ as Lord. We're the only ones who know God. We're the only ones who can have faith or trust in God. I trust in God Almighty. In his son Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. I trust in this powerful God of mine to take care of my needs. So I'm not going to have bitterness sitting there telling what all my needs are and how bad it is and this, that, and the other. He already knows my needs. Amen. I'm not going to babble on and on and on. Please God, give me this. Please God, give me that. He already knows my needs. So he tells us, he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So when you pray, I'm going to do this quickly. I've got bigger teaching on it, but get the revelation. When you pray, don't be like the people that just babble on things and what they want and what they need. He says, but when you pray, now get this, everybody get this. He's not telling you to verbatim pray this prayer, right? Because then you just made it a vain thing that you're babbling. Can I get an amen? He put those two there together. He didn't accidentally say, oh, dang, I told him not to just babble and vainly say things, and then I told him how to pray. Your heart's wrong if you take that and then you just say it. He's given you his revelation of what prayers really are supposed to do. Amen? And so when you look at the revelation, he says, when you pray like this. You recognize our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. It doesn't mean you pray that. It means you understand. What I just got done saying a second ago, you have this Father in heaven. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's all creator. He's wonderful. He made the stars, the heaven. He's got an eternity for us with him. He's so powerful. He's so amazing. See, that's what it says. Our Father is in heaven. Hallowed be holy, powerful, glorious. So when you pray, recognize who your Father is. Recognize who you're praying to. Recognize his greatness. Recognize, read some of the Psalms and say, tell him who he is. Amen? Because when you tell him who he is and you're speaking from your heart, from your spirit, from your understanding, you're actually revealing to him and angelic hosts and demonic beings who God is to you. Amen. It's a little hard to whine a prayer right now for our friend we were talking about earlier. Well, we know how big God is. We know God who made the brain. Oh, we know God who has angels who are more powerful than any demons of destruction. We know a God who is more mighty than anything Satan is up to. And that's the God we're praying to. Our Father. Our friend's Father, amen? This powerful, wonderful, glorious Father who loves us so much that all of our sin was paid for by the blood of his Son. This is the one we're praying. This is the God who will set you free. This is the God who has more angels working on your behalf than the demon has demons, than the devil has demons trying to mess you up. There are more angels working on behalf of our friend. Everybody in here, put your hand up if you're in agreement. We're releasing this many angels right now in the name of Jesus over to our friend's house right now in the name of Jesus to stop the spirit that is trying to take over. We cancel this assignment in Jesus' name. We release warring, powerful, mighty, loving angels who are going to represent our powerful God, the host of heavens. And we give you praise, God, that no weapon formed against our friend will prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoa. Amen. This is how we pray. This is how we pray. This is how we pray. Who are you praying for? This is how we pray. This is how we prayed for you. This is how we prayed for you. This is how we prayed for you. This is how we pray. This is how we pray for you. This is how we're praying for you. This is how I pray for me. This is how I pray for my sons. This is how I pray for my husband. This is how we pray. Is everybody getting it? This is how you pray. You don't pray as some whiny little thing to a pitiful God who can barely stand up to Lucifer. No, you pray to the most powerful God who Lucifer is nothing but a created being who fell from grace like that. And now all he's doing is gathering up the people who want his filthy ways instead of the ways of a holy God. Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. Glorious be your name. Righteous be your name. Your kingdom come. Whew. Your kingdom come right now, God. Your kingdom go to our house, our friend's house right now. Your spiritual laws go and break through. No weapon formed against her will prosper in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your angels, God. All that you have to fight these demonic spirits. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers and principalities in high places. That's who we fight. How do we fight them? Because we call on this powerful, holy God. And we ask him in the name of Jesus to loose his powerful, mighty, warring angels on our behalf. Amen? And we take praying seriously. And we take it according to his word. And we do it in faith and not fear. We never pray out of desperation. We pray out of revelation for who he is. We pray in faith, not fear. We shut ourselves up and declare who he is. And we mean it. And we begin to recount and we get rid of thinking, well, he did it once and they didn't appreciate it. So will he do it again? He will do it again and again and again because he is faithful when we're not. He is faithful when we're not. We never deserve for him to come and rescue us, yet he will keep coming to rescue us. Amen. Life and death is in the power of our tongues, and we're going to speak life. Amen. We're going to speak life, and we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up on people. Amen. We're not going to give up on anybody. Amen. We're going to believe that God is who he says that he is. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done in this person's life. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in Nicole's life, Lord. Your will be done in every person here's life. Your will be done in Drew's life. Your will be done in Micheline's life. Your will be done in Margaret's life. Your will be done in Bob's life. Your will be done in David's life. Your will be done, God, in Carrie's life. Your will be done in Stanley's life. Your will be done in Michael and Ryan's life, Lord God. Your will be done, God, in every life. If I didn't mention you, mention yourself. Your will be done, God. Your will be done in Cindy's life. Amen. I want you to say, your will be done, and put your name there. Your will be done, God, in my life. I want you to say, your will be done in my life, God. Your will be done in my life. Don't make it vain babbling. Mean it. Your will be done in my children's life. Your will be done in my husband's life. Your will be done in the people in this church's life. Your will be done. How many know he's big enough for his will to be done? If you recognize who he is and you release life into the situation, because life and death is in the power of your mouth. Your will be done just as it is in heaven. Let it be done on the earth. Not the same things that are in heaven. They don't need healing in heaven. We need healing on the earth. This is not talking about the very same things in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's talking about what we need now. Just like in heaven, his perfect will is, so there's no lack. There's no lack in heaven. So I'm believing when I pray for his will to be done here as it is in heaven on earth. I don't want any lack in my life. I don't want any fear in my life. I don't want any of these things in my life. Just like in heaven, they recognize who he is and how powerful he is. Just like in heaven, they recognize every needs. But they're not sitting there in the morning wondering how they're going to pay the bills. And God says, believe that there'll be no lack in your life here. Just as in heaven, there'll be no sickness in your life here. Just as in heaven, there'll be no deception. There'll be nothing to overtake you. Begin to pray as if you know that the same God who rules in heaven will rule in his kingdom here if you come into that kingdom and you believe him and you trust him. Now, this is all going to tie into this money thing in a minute. Whew. Give us today, God, our daily bread. Give me my spiritual food. Give me understanding from your word today. Give me revelation today. Give me something new from your word. New to me, not new to you, God, but new to me. Something that's real to me today to feed my spirit man. But God, give me my regular food too. Take care of feeding me today, God. Forgive us our debts, our sins. Forgive us, God, the things we've said against other people. This isn't a 5-second forgive us our debts. No, this is sit there and ask him, tell him what those are. God, forgive me for saying that about that person. God, forgive me for sinning like that. God, forgive me. God, forgive me the sin. This is a daily thing, people. This doesn't give you the permission to sin tomorrow because you asked for him to forgive you today. When you ask him to forgive you, he actually wants you to mean it. And if you've been forgiven, it's covered by the blood. And when it's covered by the blood, it doesn't repeat itself. Forgive me the sin. Get out of my heart. Deal with it, God. Help me see it. Help me to hate what you hate. Show me the real me, God. Show me what's messed up in me that wants to sin like this. God, forgive me. And God, I forgive everybody who's come against me. What is that going to do? It's going to get rid of bitterness. Lord, I forgive how this person did this, and I forgive how this person did this. How do you know if you really forgive? You don't even think about what happened to you before. You can't bring up an ex-wife or an ex-husband and blah, 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 all the wrong things about him. You don't even think like that anymore. Yeah, if you're given a testimony and God needs you to give that testimony, you can. It's like it didn't even happen to you, but not in a delusional way, in a way where you've been set free. Amen? You got to get there for real, because unforgiveness will keep you from entering into everything God has for you. You need to let junk go.
It's like so driving around, like, it's like a ball chain. Yeah, well, if they hadn't done this, if my mom hadn't done this, if the culture hadn't done this, if the pastor hadn't done this. It's walking around with all your garbage following you around. All your demons are like, la, 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 la. We're still messing with them. We're still keeping them bitter. We're still holding them back. It's like Jesus came to say, forgive them. And all those demons hanging on, dragging you down are gone. And it's real. You don't have to keep trying. It doesn't come up 10 years later. It doesn't come up every time you talk to somebody. It doesn't come up every time you pray. It's gone. If you ask God to forgive somebody, if you forgive somebody and if you ask God to separate them from that sin and you really, really forgive them, guess what? You never have to ask for that again because it's real. And it's not real because you're not asking again. It's not like it works. It's not real because all of a sudden you don't even think about asking about it anymore. Amen? It's time this isn't just words that we say in our soul, but it's reality that we live in our spirit. And some people need to stay there for a long time, every day before they do anything else. God's saying, you've got to ask my forgiveness. You've got to mean it. You've got to deal with some issues. You've got to deal with this stuff. Ask me to forgive you and ask other, and then you forgive others. That gets rid of all bitterness right there. Do not lead us into temptation. Well, if you just really seriously asked him to get rid of your sin, to get rid of your debt, your trespasses, the things you messed up, then you should have spent some time getting that thing so out of your heart that when you say, Lord, now I'm not going to be led into temptation. Thank you for me not being led into temptation. Of course, he's not going to lead you in temptation. God never tempts anyone with evil. It's the Bible. What he's saying there, deal with the areas of temptation in your life. Connect it back to the areas of forgiveness in your life. Deal with the bitterness in your life. Let's do this thing in prayer. How many know God's showing us that we're to pray like this? He wants us to pray for the healing of our hurt places. He wants us to pray. This isn't like a 5-second repeat this thing in vain babbling. This is where he says, deal with all these things. Deal with what you need. Deal with who I am. Recognize how powerful I am. Recognize who I am. Think about it. Talk about it. Find scriptures about it. Now let's get to your part. Your part. Forgive others. Deal with the sin you've done. Let it be forgiven. Recognize where you're tempted. Lord, deliver us from evil. Let's deal with how do I do that? How do I deliver you from evil? He delivers you from evil when you agree with evil. That evil is evil. Lord, deliver me from this habit. Deliver me from this thinking. Deliver me from this way of acting. Amen? You recognize it. You recognize these things. This is in the prayer where he taught them how to pray. How many know this isn't just for Tuesday nights? This is something every day that God wants you to pray. Not in vain babbling. It's a lifestyle of prayer that you live. It's a lifestyle of prayer that you live. So if something's making you upset, right now you go right to this prayer. You don't repeat it verbatim. You say, okay, God, right now I really see I have to forgive that person. Why is this bothering me so much? Why is this hurting so much? So Father, I forgive people today who were in hurtful places and led by the enemy to say bad things about me. Yes, it happens a lot. God, I forgive them with all my heart. I forgive them. I ask you to heal them. I ask you to set them free. I ask you to open their eyes. I ask you to get every hurt place out of me that was thrown at me. I thank you for faith. I thank you for your shield of faith that protected me. I thank you. I am not going to hate when I'm falsely accused. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in unconditional love. God, give me your unconditional love. So unconditional that I cannot wait for the party of seeing people healed, set free, and delivered who the devil used to try to hurt me. Amen? I want total victory. I want victory for God. I want victory for his kingdom. I want victory for these people. Amen? Whew. Deliver us from the evil. God, yours is the kingdom. Lord, this entire kingdom is yours. All the power is yours. Everything in the kingdom, every spiritual law, every bit of angelic host, everything about the power, everything about the gifts, every single thing of the kingdom belongs to you, God. Everything about power belongs to you, God. And all the glory, which means all the credit, everything worthy. It all is because of you, God, to the ages. Amen. Whoa. That's how you pray. It says, for if you forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, he brings this up after the prayer. This is really important. You have to forgive others to be forgiven. It's a spiritual law. If you do not forgive others, that bitter root will go deep and defile many. And it'll always go back to blaming God or thinking you're who the devil says you are. Always trying to protect yourself. Always trying to defend yourself. You have to forgive. You cannot use what other people did in your life as a justification for your now sin. Can we say that again? You cannot use what other people did in your life to hurt you as a now justification for sin. You cannot blame anyone for the choices you are making now. But you just don't know. I don't need to know. I know every single person makes a choice every day, all day. Every time what you open your mouth, when you don't open your mouth, what you think about, what you don't think about, what you watch, what you don't watch. And there's absolutely no excuse before God for those choices. You cannot blame him and you cannot blame anyone else. You have to live in the reality of the kingdom of forgiveness. And you do it till it's real. You work it out, you talk to somebody, you let somebody who moves in the gifts help you, but you get to a place where you can separate evil from people and forgive the people, put them in God's hands, and absolutely hate evil. Amen? But you never can identify the people as evil. They're made in the image of God. That's God's job. If they die in their sin, they will be eternally damned with the very evil spirits that caused them to do so many horrific things. But if they find Jesus Christ and they forgive and they become forgiven, then they will be separate forever from evil and live eternally with God. How awesome is that? And God is going to make us holy because he is holy. Amen. When you fast, do not be as the hypocrites. And this is Jesus talking, which means you should fast with sudden faces, for they disfigure their faces so that they may appear to men to be fasting. They have their reward. He goes, when you do these spiritual things, when you pray all day, when you do this, don't act in such a way for people to say, wow, aren't they spiritual? Oh, did you see? They must be fasting. Oh, they've given up so much. God's saying, quit doing stuff, quit doing religious, what we would call religious stuff or spiritual stuff to impress people. This is how you get what I call religious spirit. This is how you get a hyper-spiritual devil. Because you start doing things, but your motive is wrong. It can be shaking. It can be tongues. It can be anything. If you're doing it to be seen by man or to fit in, it's not real. Deal with it. You need to start asking God, is this even real? Is this something I do because I want to fit in? Is this something I do because I want people to think I'm spiritual? Because hurt people will do whatever to try to fit in. The truth is you fit in the kingdom if you're born again. The minute you get born again, you fit in. Amen? You're one with God. You're in the kingdom. You don't have to have certain gifts and certain signs and wonders. That's all people looking at things trying to fit in. God says, get rid of all that. Get rid of all that. All right. He goes, but if you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to be fasting, but to your Father in heaven, but to your Father in secret, and your Father seen in secret will repay you in the open, which is one reason I'm personally not in agreement that leaders should call a fast in the new covenant. I know they do. But if I'm supposed to do this in secret and the whole church is doing it, it's not very secret, is it? And what is the whole idea of doing a fast? I'm going to God and I'm spending time with God because he's drawing me. He's giving me grace to do that. He's having me do these things. So I'm in covenant with him. I'm not saying no one could ever say to do that. I'm just saying we need to make sure God's telling us to do it. I don't want to do something as a religious work. I don't want to do something to please man. I don't want to do something under old covenant. Amen. I want to do what God wants me to do. I can hear the Holy Spirit myself. Amen. He will tell me. He will lead me. He will show me. In the old covenant, they could not. In the old covenant, it had to be the priest or the prophets who called fast because the everyday people couldn't hear God. Now, it's pretty cool if God calls everybody on the fast at the same time and nobody's telling anybody. All of a sudden, it's not a good time to have a church picnic. Amen. But God won't have you have a church picnic then. Wouldn't it be fun when we can have a church picnic again? We're going to have one at Newport News Park. We're going to have fried chicken. Lots of it. Anyway, okay. Put you in fasting. Anoint your head. Wash your face so as not to appear to be fasting. But to your Father in secret. And your Father seen in secret will repay you in the open. Which means God's going to call people to recognize you know him. God's going to cause people to say, there's something different about that person. There's just something about the relationship, Lord. I'll tell you this. When I talk about, and I used to not do it hardly at all, but God has me talking more about these God encounters. I only do it for one reason. I want you to be hungry for them. I want you to be hungry to go deeper in God. I want you to be hungry to spend real powerful time in the presence of God. I'm not doing it to seem more spiritual than anybody else. I do it to stir you, as Paul says, to stir you to jealousy. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul says. He's like, look, what I do in my relationship with God, you can do. Where I go in my relationship with God, you can go. Even more, but I'm just saying that's the heart behind it. The heart is about, oh, look at that person. That's why that person is so just plain normal otherwise. Amen? It's more about get hungry for this. This is for every believer. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Draw near to him. He will draw near to you. He promises. All right. Now here we go. Do not treasure up for yourself treasures on the earth, where moth and rust cause to perish. And if you want to see if rust can cause it to perish, just bring it out to the beach house. I'm not kidding. I didn't think things that aren't even supposed to rust, they don't even last. I mean, they're like gone in no time. Like, why? Moth and rust cause to perish. Thieves dig through and steal. So in other words, the things that can be ruined on the earth have no real value in heaven. You're not taking your bicycle with you to heaven, or your cars, or your clothes, or your earrings, or your jewelry. You're not taking anything with you to heaven that a thief can steal, that rust can destroy, and that a moth can eat. And he's saying, so don't make that stuff that important. Don't make that stuff that important. Get it. That stuff's not that important. But treasure up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can cause to perish, and thieves do not dig through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if I'm going to treasure up for myself treasures in heaven, I need to study God's word more. See, what are those treasures? What are the treasures in heaven? For me personally, I think a treasure in heaven would be to live a life and pray and believe God to a place where everyone that I love finds Jesus Christ as Lord. That would be awesome treasures in heaven, to have my family in heaven, to have my friends in heaven. Amen? How many think that would be one of the greatest treasures you want to have in heaven? And God's like, so get your heart there. If you're all about stuff and all about the world and all about, you're not going to be getting those treasures to heaven. Amen? The other treasures in heaven, there's all kind. There's a relationship with him. I think being his bride, that's a treasure in heaven. Amen. This isn't like the kind of treasures like fancy houses and things in heaven. The true the treasures of heaven will be like, that stuff really doesn't matter. I just want to be with Jesus. Amen. I just want to have what he wants for my life. So he's trying to separate the world's kind of way of thinking from the heart that loves God and the things of God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. What that's showing you is where you spend a lot of your thinking and time and what you're interested in shows where your treasure is. So if you're like a, okay, I go to church once a week or twice a week, or I think about God once in the morning, you're really revealing how much your treasure is in heaven. This isn't a religious thing that says, you can't do this, you can't. This is like God saying, really stop and see, where is your treasure? Are you more about what's your relationship with God in heaven? Are you more about people getting into heaven that you're going to lead there? Are you more about what God has for eternity with him? Or are you more about living here and then when you die, hopefully you'll get to heaven? God says, this stuff is real. Really deal with this stuff. He goes on, the lamp of the body is the eye. Then if your eye is sound, all your body is light. Now, when I was asking God to show me where people would get this hyper-spirituality or hearing something they thought was God and it wasn't God and it would take their sound minds, he was showing me that people who want to be seen by man and care about what people think and all they care about are treasures here and what they have here and look at all this stuff here and all this and that, that these people are setting themselves up that their eye is not sound and their body's not full of light. If your eye is evil, then your body is dark. If then the light in you, now listen, if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, if what you think is light, what you think is true spirituality in Christ, but it's actually darkness, then you are extremely deceived. Extremely deceived. And people who lose their sound minds are extremely deceived by what they think is God, but it's not God. Most people in here know somebody or people who thought they were hearing God, but it didn't go along with God's word. There wasn't the love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, patience. There wasn't walking in that divine knowing who God is, and it's all about Jesus and talking about Jesus and loving his word. It was all off track. It was off track about money. It was off track about power. It was off track about signs and wonders. It was just all off track. And God says, when you get off track in that area of your good works and the things you're doing to be seen by man and those things that people call spiritual, when that gets off track, the very light in you is actually turned into darkness, or a demon gets in you that takes over and causes great darkness in what used to be light. And we need to pray, God, let them see that darkness. Open their eyes to that darkness. Let them see where their treasures have been. Let them see the reason they were doing things. Basically saying, if your motives for your spiritual activities are off, and it's more about you and what people think about you and what you can get, I just got to be honest, then there's a possibility, a strong possibility of what was Christ in you can now have a spirit of darkness on it, and it's so dark that it's really hard for you to see. And that is all over the body of Christ. And it's one of the hardest things to get people free from. And it will lead to a lack of a sound mind. And then he goes on to tell a little more about that, what it can be connected to. No one is able to serve two lords. For he will either hate the one and he will love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve God and wealth or mammon. You are not able. Wow. You are not able to give your heart over to the things of the world and the money of this world and the whole concept of success and look at me and look what I have. You cannot serve that, cling to that, love that, and really have something real with God. The two are going to battle. There's going to be a battle. Which one are you really about? It doesn't mean you're not going to have things. It doesn't mean you're not going to have even great wealth. It doesn't mean God's not going to. It means what is going on in your heart? Where is your real treasure? I'll tell you how you can tell. It's why are you really reading the word? Or are you reading the word? Why are you listening? If you're doing it to get rich, then your heart's still wrong that you're doing spiritual things. If you're praying to get rich, if you're doing it to get a spouse, if you're doing it to have people like you or have whatever. God's like, check your motives, check your motives, check your motives. And God's going to bring it down to the spiritual law. You're going to have to pick one or the other. You're going to have to pick. Do you want God and his kingdom and his way of doing things? Guess what? That's going to take some shaking. You may go through some difficult things to decide, do I still love God? Do I still trust God? Do I still want God wants for my life? Or do I really want money? Do I really want what money can do for me? Do I really want everything just to be nice and easy? He goes on. Because of this, because of what? Because you have to choose between God and wealth. That's it. You have to choose. He says to you, do not be anxious for your soul. In other words, your soul. Don't worry about what to eat and drink or your body, what you put on it, because your soul is more than food and the body more than clothing. And he's saying the enemy wants to get you consumed with your clothes, consumed with what you have, consumed with your stuff, consumed with your possessions, consumed with taking care of your stuff, consumed with hoarding everything to make sure it's still there in case something happens. Just consume with whatever you have going to take care of you instead of trusting God. And he says, look at the birds of the heaven. They do not sow, nor do they reap. They don't put everything in barns. We would say closets and storage units and sheds. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you not rather excel them? God's saying, no matter what happens, I'll take care of you. Now, God can take care of you. Right now, we're doing the food pantry, and I really believe we're supposed to do this. And I'm just encouraging people. We may have a rough, little bit of a rough season during the elections, and you may not want to go out of your house much, and you may not want to go to a grocery store. So I'm encouraging people to have, I've heard anywhere from 3 weeks to a month to 3 months of food. I always have that because I just have a freezer, two freezers, and I like to just buy stuff on sale and have that. But I just encourage you. We're also asking people to bring things in. So if we need to help people who do not have that, you never know what's going to happen, but God does. It's very biblical for God's way of taking care of you is to have someone like Joseph, the leader Joseph in the Bible, who knew a famine was coming, and God had him use wisdom to be prepared for that. And that was how God took care of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? God can use people to take care of people. He can use things and wisdom to do that. It's just you cannot have that in yourself. I got to take care of me. I got to make sure I have this. I got to make sure I have that. And I'm asking God to really get this out of my heart, because I still know that I try to hang on to stuff there. I think, well, nobody's manufacturing very good clothes these days. That's okay. I got enough clothes. Well, you know, I remember when I was fighting about going over that thing about possessions. The Bible says life is not in your possessions. And one day the Lord said, you know, I could take care of this really quick, like a fire. Okay, Lord, I don't want that. No, I get it. It doesn't matter how much stuff I save up, where I stock it, where I put it. One really good fire is gone. All of it. Barns, closets, extra stuff, everything gone. Wiped out, goodbye, gone. So you got a good point, Lord. There's no sense in me putting my faith and my trust in this stuff. Amen? So, Lord, it's yours. If you want me to give it away, show me however you want to do it. And remember last week we kind of talked about this. If you were here, it was kind of funny. But I asked the Lord on the way home, he said, I'm going to give you the answer as to why you don't want to give all your stuff away. I said, okay, I would like that answer. And he said, because I never asked you to. I don't give grace where it's not me. And he said, you used to have that same kind of almost panic take over about having to clear out everything in the checking account and give it away. And I went through a real thing with that. And the Lord finally said, if I want you to give it away, I will give you the grace to give it away. If you see somebody in need and you've got my heart, you'll give it in need. And I'm like, oh, I forget that grace thing. And the Lord said, the Lord told me, I know you will do whatever I ask you to do. And that was my thinking was, Lord, I know I'd give this. What is going on with me? And the Lord said, well, and some people give it without the Lord. Some people don't even like stuff in their house. I have a sister like that. I mean, she'll just load up and load up. Me, I'm like going through everything. Well, Lord, this I could use this again. Or if I know somebody who wants this, I could give this away. Or if we could send this to another country, I'd do it. But just to give it to somebody who has just as much stuff as me, I don't see the point in that. But if he says, do it, it's gone. Lord said, Cindy, I know you'll give me whatever I ask of you. The rest you can give away if you want. He doesn't care. But where there's grace, he's going to empower you to do it. Amen? And so you don't have to live in this dread that God's going to require something of you that you won't do. He will give you the grace to do it, unless your heart's wrong. Like we all know the story of that young rich man. And the young rich man, when God said, okay, if you want to follow me, get rid of everything you own and follow me. And God was showing him, you love your wealth more than you want to serve me. Doesn't mean that kid never got saved. It doesn't mean he never ever caught on to it. But God will point out to you what's in your heart that he's requiring because it's an idol. Amen? So be sensitive when he starts pointing. You know, it's funny, other people, oh, I give everything away. It's like, you don't even have anything. You don't have money to have anything. You've never had anything. You don't know if you'd give everything away. You haven't had everything yet. Amen? It's easy to say what you would do if you had something if you never had it. It's a whole nother story when you get it. Amen? It's a whole nother thing. Lord, help me with this. Give me grace for this. Show me how to do this. Amen? And guess what? He will. But keep your heart open. Lord, show me what this is. And always know, if he knows it's an idol, he's going to put his hand on it. Amen? He's going to put his finger and say, we want this. Yeah, we want this. You know, let's take this. You know, how about that? No, how about this? Amen? So as he's dealing with you and as he's working in you, he's going to show you these things. And you can't outgive him. He's got spiritual laws. If you give 10 things away, he's going to give you 100. Say, Lord, well, give 100 away. He'll give you 1,000. I mean, you can't outgive him. This is the same with finances, with anything. If you keep giving, he's going to keep giving back. It's his spiritual law. And he can trust you. You give, he gives. You give. Now, let me say this. If you give to get, it doesn't work. You can't manipulate God. If you give because you're becoming like him and you love him and you agree, then it's going to come back. He says so. It comes back multiplied. It doesn't just come back the same. He does promise if you give the poor exactly what you give, he'll give it back to you. How many of we need that kind of freedom? We need to really enter into all those spiritual laws and those things God has in his kingdom and mean them. But it's all about the attitude of the heart. It's about getting free. So when he says, do this, you can do this. And he just blesses you. And we want to be blessed. Amen? We want to be blessed. We want to be the people who can bless. We really, as believers, should want to be the people with the money. Because then we can influence things a lot stronger. Amen. We'll have a lot more power in the world's eyes if we have finances. But God can't entrust most of us with his finances because it'll destroy us. But God would like to have a people he could trust with finances. He would like to have a people who would care about taking care of orphans. He would like to have a people who care about taking care of widows. He would like to have he'd like to have a people who aren't trying to have big fancy buildings, but actually want to make jobs and do something. Amen? The kingdom of God is amazing, and the church has got to wake up and grow up and separate from this love of money. We've seen the separating of love of money is just poor, poor people. No, they love money too. They just don't have any. And then you have the wealthy people with money in ministry who, you know, have to drive fancy cars and be all rich and all this kind of stuff. And that's okay if God's calling them to that. But where does the people who love God and God gives them money and then they do whatever he wants with it? And I'm sure there's plenty. But I believe in this last days there's going to be more and more and more because there's going to be a lot of things we need to do in the kingdom. Amen? I just want to be one of those people you can trust with money. He goes on. So he says, how can you tell if you're serving money? Because you worry about stuff. You wonder, how am I going to eat? How am I going to have something to drink? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? You constantly worry about how things are going to be taken care of. Then he goes, look at the birds. They don't even, they don't even do the spiritual laws that humans do. They don't have barns, but your Father takes care of them, but you excel above them. Any of you being anxious, you're not able to add even one cubit to your stature. I say, you can't even add an inch to your height. And before God really got a hold of me, I was working at a radio station. I was the sales manager at a radio station. And I was so worried about money. I was worried about stuff all the time. There was no reason for me to be so worried. I mean, John was an engineer. He made decent money, and we had a nice house and everything. And yet, I was so worried. And I remember thinking, I worried so much. I take this scripture, and I go, quit worrying. You shouldn't worry. You can't even do anything. Can y'all get that? Worry does nothing to help you. Worry does nothing to help you. Pray. So, you know, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Have him deal with things. There are things you need to do. Don't just be oblivious and then it all falls apart and you wonder what happened. But worry is not the answer. Worry is fear. Worry is fear-based. prayer is faith-based. He goes on, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon, all of his glory, was clothed as one of these. If God so enrobes the grass of the field, which is today, and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he take care of you? And they says, you little faith. God's going to take care of you. Does everybody get that? God's going to take care of you, whether we're here for the whole 7-year tribulation. Amen. He's going to take care of us, whether we're the ones who think you're raptured before anybody sees the Antichrist, or the ones who think you're raptured halfway through, or the ones who are here for the whole thing, whether they're rioting in the streets, no matter who wins this presidency. Guess what? God's going to take care of us. I'm not believing for a certain candidate for my own personal reasons. Amen. I know God will take care of me wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, because I believe in his power to do that. Amen. I believe in that. But there's other reasons I want to see righteousness prevail in this nation. Amen. And the stopping of the death of babies and some of the horrific things that we're doing to hurt everybody and to cause people not to know God. We've got to become kingdom thinking, kingdom minded. What am I thinking? What am I doing? How is this going to have an eternal effect? How is this going to have an eternal effect? How is how I'm spending my money? How is how I'm training my children? How I'm having relationships with people? How is this going to have an eternal effect on anything? Do you understand? If it doesn't affect eternity, it doesn't really matter. So when you're in your job, it's not how much money you're going to bring home. It's what are you doing there that's going to have an eternal effect? You're going to have an eternal effect on your coworkers. You're going to have it if you own the business and God blesses it, you can have an effect in the kingdom by how you give. When God blesses you and you give to the kingdom, you're having a real eternal effect if you're led by the Holy. Do you understand it? Start thinking eternally. Start thinking kingdom. Amen? Start thinking kingdom for everything you do. Quit thinking, well, I'm doing this because I need the money. Don't do anything because you need the money. Do it because God says you're worse than a heathen if you don't work when you can work, want to work and take care of your family. If you could see all the letters we get from India and even the Philippines, especially India, and so much with love to be able to work. So you go to the Philippines and they hardly make any, they are still out there trying to sell fish, trying to have markets, always trying to work. So when God looks at them, he doesn't say, oh, they don't take care of their families. He says, no, they desire to work. That's what the Bible says there. If a man doesn't desire to work to take care of his family, he's worse than a heathen. So we have an entire political system that wants all the men to be worse than heathens. Think about that when you vote. God says a man is supposed to want to work. He's supposed to want to take care of his family. Well, that's old-fashioned. Well, that's God. Just because our culture is so messed it up so big doesn't mean that God's way wasn't the best way and is still the best way and we can still have it. Amen? Don't worry. He talked about the Proverbs woman. She was busy. She took care of her family. She had businesses, all these things. You can do whatever he calls you to do. He'll give you grace. Amen? But don't act as if God's way of doing things isn't right. Repent where we didn't do it God's way, how we got away from God's way, and then the best we can, watch God put the pieces together again. Amen? He goes on and says, for after all these things the nations seek, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. I want you to look at the things you need. How many have some things they really need in here? Raise your hands. Okay, some of us don't. Some of us are living out of abundance. Praise God. But some people really have needs. I want you to know that the heavenly Father knows what you need. He says, I got you. I got it. I've got that. I'll take care of it. Amen. He wants you to walk with that kind of faith. He wants you to walk with knowing that he doesn't want you to think about money, try to serve money, try to hoard it. He wants you to recognize. He wants you to go to him in prayer and supplication. He says, make your needs known before him. Why? If he knows what I need, why does he want me to tell you? Because when he gives it to you, you'll know he did it. Wow. I was praying and I asked God for this. And wow, look, kids, what he did. You know, I talk about the, I can't say that they won't let me do it. You guys know the place in Nag's Head. And God just blesses it and 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 blesses it. He's doing that to show off. He really is. He's blessing the whole area. He's blessing the whole area. It's almost they have a 6% increase in that area this year, in the whole entire area. It's amazing. It's in the bukus of bucks. You say, you think it's just because of it? I don't know what it's just because, but I know I'm there, and I know he started blessing me, and I know that the blessings are overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. How many know we should be able to walk in that kind of abundance and know it? But it's not what we live for. It's because he loves to show himself faithful. He is amazing. Get out of the poverty mentality. Get out of the living in lack mentality. Count it all joy. Your various trials, because he's working you through these things so that you will come to a place of lacking nothing. How can going through these horrible trials cause me to come to a place of lacking nothing? Because to get through a horrible trial and be able to count it joy, you encountered God. And your faith grew. And your faith grew. And your faith grew. And your faith grew. And it grew so much, you aren't afraid of lack anymore. You're not in a poverty mentality anymore. You're trusting God. You're watching God. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will give you the promotion. Just get away from false spirituality and everything and be real about how faithful God is. He is faithful. He is faithful when we're not faithful. You can't get more faithful than that. Amen? But you have to change the way you see things. And you have to see things through him, not culture. My gosh, if somebody puts a whole curse over a whole section of culture and you buy into that, you need to identify in Christ. You need to identify in Christ. Well, in Christ, nothing's impossible. In Christ, all my needs are met. In Christ, I'm the one who gets the favor. Amen? I expect favor. Amen? If God withholds favor, it's because I can't handle that favor yet, or it's not my season for that favor. But I expect God to give me favor. Amen? We need to start expecting the favor of God. Expect to get the promotion. Expect to get the whatever it is that God wants to bless you with. Amen? Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Get your eyes on God. That's why he gave us that whole prayer first, right? Now here's a key. Key. Get the key. I've preached this a lot of times, but get it. For all these things, your Heavenly Father knows you need. But, there's a but here. You must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of all these things. Do y'all get that? He's like, I know what you need. I've heard your prayers 100 times. I know all you think about is that. I know this is what you're worried about. I know you think about this. He goes, hey, stop it. I know all that. But seek first. First. Spend time with me. Think like me, says the Lord. Do what I'm showing you. Do it my way. Read my word. Get into my word. Read books that build you up, that use my word as what they're believing and writing about. Amen? And then seek first the kingdom, not just Jesus. What's the kingdom? Everything that the kingdom is. Everything. Joy, peace, righteousness, science, everything that's in the kingdom. I want everything in the kingdom. Amen? Seek first. Above all else, wake up thinking about his kingdom. Go to sleep thinking about his kingdom. Learn all that you can about his kingdom. How does faith operate? How does finances operate? How do we have this? How does healing operate? What do we have? What does the end times look like? Amen? It's a whole kingdom. Get hungry to know the kingdom, about the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Be right where he wants you, which means you are always changing from glory to glory. You're not backslidden. You're not now chasing the things of the world. You're right where he wants you. You're hungrier for God today than when you were yesterday. You understand his ways more today than you did yesterday. You know there's more for you. You want to be right where he wants you to be. You don't want to even worry. Think about going backwards. Amen? You don't want to even think about going backwards. And he's going to add all these things to you. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. For tomorrow, there will be enough anxiety for itself, sufficient to each day's trouble. He's basically saying, Don't spend your time dreading tomorrow. Don't spend your time trying to figure out, how do I handle tomorrow? He will get you through tomorrow when you get to tomorrow. Does that mean you can't have a retirement plan? No. It means if you have wisdom and you seek him and you're blessed, you can put money aside. You can have insurance. It's not like, I can't do it, unless he tells you you can't, but don't have a religious spirit telling you can't. Amen? Just remember, just know this, if your heart's right, and if you, let's say you have everything in stocks and it all goes away, you're not going to jump out of a window like they did in the Great Depression. You're going to realize, well, that wasn't really where my, that's not really what I'm depending on. And then you can enjoy life. Amen. I can enjoy life knowing it's a crazy world right now. Amen. I'm not going to spend my time with what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen? I'm just going to enjoy whatever happens tomorrow. He will take care of it. But part of his taking care of it may be having me have enough food for a month if I don't want to go stand in lines at the grocery store. Getting the education he wants me to have when I don't even understand it for the job he wants me to have later. Amen? It's about getting in his will, and he will use everything he does in your life to put you where you need to be right in his perfect will. Amen? So, Father, we just come before you. Make this word so alive. God, when you talk about the love of money, you put it right there with the Lord's Prayer. When you talk about this, God, you put it right there with the religious spirit or hyper-spirituality, how the enemy tries to come in and cause that kind of confusion as he wants us to love money, to stay full of worries and cares. And, Lord, you use this one pastor, Matthew 6, Lord, the whole chapter of Matthew 6, to bust that thing out. So, Lord, I ask that people would let that just go through to their spirit, into their soul and their mind and their thinking, from their spirit man, to just saturate them with truth to be set free. And, Lord, that you would totally destroy the idolatry of the love of money out of our hearts and the serving of wealth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to share one other thing really quickly. We can stay on Facebook for this. I'll probably preach this next Tuesday, but let me just put the little trailer out there. Amen. When we struggle, there's only two biblical struggles in the Bible. We do not struggle against sin. We don't struggle to quit sinning. We struggle with God, which we're going to look at next week or maybe Sunday or whatever with Jacob. I'm going to get back into the book of Revelation, though, so probably next Tuesday. So there's a real struggle. There's a struggling with God, like Jacob did. God, you've got to bless me. God, I'm not leaving it to you. Bless me. And there's this getting before God and crying out to God and having a struggle one-on-one with God until you leave limping. You leave with a different walk. Your walk is changed. Amen. And then we do not struggle, or we do not fight and struggle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities, rulers, and so there's spiritual warfare, okay? There's nothing in there that says, I struggle with sin. And the Lord showed me that people have taken and used the word struggle and attached it to sin to justify sinning. And the lie is, well, if I'm struggling with it, God knows I'm trying my best to not do it. No, you're sinning. You'll go to hell if you die in your sin. There's nothing about, he paid for your sin. He gave his grace to set you free from sin. People quit sinning certain sins without even God. They just choose not to do it. But the Lord showed me people who grab that struggling idea and they're working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Can I tell you something? You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you got fear and trembling towards God, you're not sinning. Amen. And so next week, we're going to look more into, well, what am I struggling with then? And we're going to see you can struggle with God and you can struggle with demonic powers. And so next week, we'll look into that and see if the Lord has me do that. Then see, how do I win when I struggle? When you struggle with God, you win when you lose. Amen. That'd be a good title. And when you struggle against principalities, you better win. Because if you lose, you're going to lose big. Amen. So we're going to look at that next week. So I want you to delete out of your thinking that you're struggling against a habit, or you're struggling against an addiction, or you're struggling against a sin. That's a lie. You've bought a lie from the enemy. I didn't give it to you. You bought a lie from the enemy that if I'm struggling, then I'm trying to be free. Therefore, it's not my fault. Or God must know I'm trying. He doesn't tell you to try to not sin. He says to the woman, now go and sin no more, lest the worst thing comes on you. He says to another person, now sin no more. He hadn't even poured out his Holy Spirit yet, people. He basically said, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Because sin is a choice. Sin is always a choice. Sin is always a free will choice. And when we look at this next week, we'll probably look at how you first sin and then you became a slave to sin and then it leads to death. But Jesus Christ came to break off the power of being a slave to sin. Period. And so we're going to look at that in a little more detail, because the Lord's just been showing me with certain things that people have been saying and certain things you see in the church culture where people have justified sin. If seriously 60% or more of men are struggling with pornography, then there's a lot of people who bought into a lie. Amen? And there's no struggling with sin. And if I struggle with principalities, I should win every time. Amen? Because it's really, he's not asking you to fight him. He's asking you to yield to Holy Spirit in you who's already won. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is actively involved with your struggle with the enemy, with your fight. It's the good fight of faith. It doesn't sound like a good fight of faith is going to cause you to lose to the enemy, ever. Amen? And then we're going to talk about struggling with God, because that's dealing with our heart and how we feel like God is not helping us or God's not doing this. And so we're going to really look at that. I think it's going to bring breakthrough for people who just feel like no matter what, I just can't seem to break through this thing. Amen? All right. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.